crying out for justice. Everyone is crying out for peace, yes. None is crying out for justice. I don't want no peace.
Justice down. Basement.
You are now listening to Basement Radio.
Welcome back, listeners. You're listening to Basement Radio on Radio Valencia.
It's true. We are back after a very long hiatus. We did drop in for a special Basement Radio
holiday episode.
Ex-Neon Shrines holiday episode.
That's very true. And now we're back with another holiday episode.
Because sometimes we like to collaborate with other brands. Like, what have we done?
We've done
like a Supreme crossover.
Supreme. We did an online ceramics.
Oh, yeah. The online ceramics one was pretty good. It was a photo of me and Mitsu, but we were kind of like our faces were in sunflowers.
They were in sunflowers, and then we were just like sitting on a bench with Jerry Garcia.
Yeah, yeah.
And I believe
that was pretty good.
It was a good one. And you know, weirdly enough, those we each had to pay money to be in our own merchandise, which is weird. I guess that's just how online ceramics works.
It was a strange one. It was weird because at the end of it, I think they sold like 5 million of our shirt, something like that. It might have been a little less than that.
Something like that.
But at the end of it, we gave them $400.
Yeah, it's really weird. I guess that's how it works for all of their drops. It's a business model that works for them. So good. Yeah. More power to them.
Cheeto's in the chat. Wait, there's a few people in the chat. We got Cheeto, who says he left his family for Basement Radio.
That's
exactly what we want.
That's
here.
What we want. We're here to ruin families for the holidays, especially during the holidays. Of course, you don't have to do too much work for that because, you know, it's the holidays.
I gotta say, like, I after our holiday special with JoJo, and we had some other fantastic guests. You can listen to it on our podcast page.
It was a cavalcade of guests.
Mm-hmm. But after that, I realize how much I really do like the holidays. I think it's just because I like something telling me I'm not allowed to work.
Yeah, yeah.
And like pretty much everyone else shuts down, so like I can't do anything.
I know. It's kind of nice. It's weird. It's a double-edged sword because on the one hand, you don't have to do anything, but the inverse of that is neither does anyone else, so you are just kind of left to your own devices.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Survivor, but, you know, not on an island.
They should do a Christmas holiday Survivor. Non-denominational holiday Survivor.
They could actually, maybe all the holidays. Kwanzaa, Christmas, Hanukkah, Survivor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are there any other, is that during the holidays?
Is that the Hare Krishna one?
No, that's the one where they just throw fucking pigment at you wherever you go.
Oh, yeah, why is it gotta be fucking pigment? it's the
Indian. Right?
Yeah, Hindu holiday.
Hindu holiday? I don't know.
That's the one that the Coldplay video indulged in.
Yeah, exactly. culturally appropriate.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say.
Yeah, my top five favorite Indian singers are Ravi Shankar, Norah Jones, and Chris Martin.
Okay, so I just want to point out that Billy Bob Thornton is in the chat.
Wow.
And he says, "Hey, boys, it's Billy Bob. Just logged in to interject, correct any misinformation that might be thrown out tonight."
First and foremost, Billy Bob.
I was trying to do my sling plate.
First and foremost, you want to make sure that you get all your facts right. Because just like them bread, fried, and potatoes, people tend to mix up what's supposed to be fried and what's supposed to be boiled.
Okay, that's better. I was just going for the voice. Because I think mine's kind of close. It's just deep. Like, mine's deep.
But you aren't... you have more than enough self-awareness to not embarrass yourself. Unlike me, who has zero self-awareness and freely embarrasses himself.
Wow, that's the nicest thing you ever said to me. And then we got Canada Man in the chat.
Oh, Canada Man. My second favorite man, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Behind.
And I didn't realize this. Anyway, you're listening to Basement Radio on RadioValencia.fm. Or if you're in the 1 mile radius of this station, you are on, I don't know, 89.7 or something. It's not even worth remembering.
It's one of those.
But
If you're next door, you can listen to it.
If you're next door, crank out that hand crank radio.
I actually think if you're just standing outside of the literal station, you can hear us better than you were if you were just listening to us on the radio.
But anyway, every week we review a VHS tape from our collection that we screen on Wednesday night.
Exclusively on VHS.
Mm-hmm.
Except for that one wretched month when we only did Laserdiscs.
Oh, yeah. So since we've been gone, since you've been gone.
That's a banger.
I watched Laserdisc for the first time.
Oh, you're going to keep going. Okay, well, that's fine.
It was a better picture.
That's not how the rest of that song goes.
Laserdisc Radio coming soon. Thanks, Cheetah.
No, hard pass.
But anyway, we did a month that I wasn't really so attached to it being on Laserdisc, but it was exciting because we had to flip it halfway through.
Well, we thought we did, but yeah. We realized we did. It only took us three screenings.
The whole time people are asking me Laserdisc questions, and I'm not like an expert, but like I'm trying to answer, and the whole time I'm like, you know what, the holy grail of Laserdisc players is ones with double lasers,
yeah.
So you don't have to flip the motherfucker.
And then we realized we had one the whole time. I bet you, I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure that's how the actual grail is going to be discovered. It's just going to be in like some fucking yokel's like backyard, just like sitting in a pile of like fucking empty Mountain Dew, like 7-Eleven Big Gulp cups. And,
I thought you were talking about like our grail. Like, sometimes I think that our grails are already in our collection.
Oh,
we
absolutely
just don't know.
That has actually literally happened to us a couple times. Like, oh my God, I've been looking for this tape forever. And then someone who comes out of the base like, oh, you mean this one over here? Like, oh yeah, there it is. We meant literally we were looking for it forever in that it was in our room and we didn't realize it.
Billy Bob says, hey, Bob, glad to be here.
I sure do like being on the radio.
What do you think? Since Billy Bob's in the chat, Billy Bob, I hope you don't mind this, but we're going to review your recent style change.
Yeah, I was actually about to ask you, how many hats are you wearing right now as we speak? How many things are on top of your head?
I'm going to guess it's like a fedora over a beanie.
Now, okay, follow-up question. Are either of those hats that you're wearing pierced? Just because I guess I hear...
Wait, the hats are pierced?
Yeah, the fucking hat literally has a fucking hoop earring.
I haven't seen this.
Look it up.
I know he has hoop earrings.
No, but he fucking puts hoop earrings in his own goddamn hats. Look it up.
He's like kind of following the Johnny Depp school.
I think he's actually improved upon. Like, oh,
really?
Johnny Depp ran so Billy Bob could run. Could fly.
I don't know why these old guys... Or no offense, Billy Bob, but modern day Yankee Doodle, you know, says, yeah, like no offense, Billy Bob, but
all
offense intended. No offense,
joined up,
entertained. But more so, like, I don't understand what this thing is with women's jeans. Like, because I know why they wear them, right? It's because, like, the lines are better, right? Like, they're more form-fitting.
You're, by the way, listening to a new segment we have on Best Reader called Luca's Women Be Shopping.
No, Women Be Shopping. But, why do men be shopping women's jeans? Like, I never thought that... Like, I just don't know why. Maybe it's like a middle-aged crisis kind of thing. Like, you need to be, like seen as attractive or something.
Is that what is perceived as attractive? Like, men wearing women's jeans?
Well, he said on a recent special, Billy Bob...
He wears women's
that
jeans.
...that he only buys women's jeans because he doesn't like the, like, form of men's jeans.
He's also a small person. He's, like, 5'4 or some fucking... He's a short kid.
He looks like he's lost some weight.
He looks emaciated. I mean, it's that Ozempic, you know what I mean? He's got the Ozempic.
You think he's on Ozempic?
No, but I think he wishes he was on. He's got that Christian Bale machinist diet.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. That's all that's in my head right now.
Oh, good.
My head's completely empty.
I'm good. I'm good. I'm glad that that's there.
Cheeto fucked me up.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot, Cheeto. Big shout out to Cheeto, by the way.
But we're here, and normally we talk about one film, the film that we watched on Wednesday, which this Wednesday was not Wednesday. It was Monday. Mm-hmm. It was at the Four Star Theater.
We at Basin Radio like to celebrate Wednesdays on a Monday sometimes. Mm-hmm. And this week was one of those days.
Yeah, you know how Christmas always lands on different days?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just like Wednesday.
But yeah, there you go.
Sometimes it lands on Monday.
There you go. This particular week, we watched... We're going to talk about all the other movies that we've missed discussing. Mm-hmm. But first and foremost, we watched
Piss Ma in the House.
Mm-hmm. Merry Christmas, Piss Ma.
Merry Christmas, Piss Ma. Where the fuck have you been?
Okay,
I haven't seen your face in like a month.
Well, real talk, we're going to have to share this mic because those are they are not working.
Yeah, we're
but
not.
Those headphones work.
Okay. The headphones work. Yeah.
Do you want some teriyaki chicken?
I'm good.
Yeah, if you share a mic with Mitsu, you have to be engulfed by his flavors.
Yeah.
His sense.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Merry Christmas, Piss Ma.
Merry Shipmas to you, too.
There you go. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about, Piss Ma, you missed the cinematic masterpiece that is the 2005 David Steinem classic, Santa Slay.
Do you think David Steinman and classic have ever been in the same sentence, really?
I don't think so, but I think you turned down one of these things.
Yeah.
Hello?
It might just be that yours got slightly unplugged.
Hello?
Train.
There it is. You got it.
Can you hear us through yours?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
All right.
I actually watched it last night. And
did you really?
Yeah, and I was wondering what the hell David Steinman made.
It's really just appalling.
I think it's incredible. Well, here's what I looked up David Steinem's, what I thought was
Steinman.
Going to be. Steinman. Whatever. I thought it was
like Hyman.
Hyman, Steinman. Anyway.
With a sty in front of it.
There you go.
Ooh, it's a Hyman with a sty on it.
God, that might be the worst thing I've ever heard you say. That might be the worst thing I've ever heard you say, Koopa.
Oh, my God.
Big shout out to Sty.
I'm
in
that right now.
Oh, my God,
a Sty. I don't really know what a hymen looks like, but it's got a Sty on it.
You know, I hate to burst your bubble here.
Oh.
Hey-o. Anyway, so.
You can only burst it once.
That's true. That's what I hear. Well, not with that attitude. I hear they regrow. I hear there's exercises you can do. Is that true? I read that somewhere. I think
there's surgeries.
Surgeries. Oh, yeah. You can get a surgery. There's a surgery for that now.
Right.
Born again.
Well, this is starting off good.
It's still starting off great. Okay, so. Wait, Pismo, what are your thoughts? Give us a little.
You watched Santa Slay, and then what did you think?
as far as being just a Christmas disaster, it was great in that respect. But also, like, the writing of the movie, it seemed like a middle school kid wrote the entire dialogue.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is very common for the time, I think, unfortunately.
It's true, yeah.
We had, like, the...
Or fortunately, depending on who you ask.
Well, no, so Santa Slays is like this black comedy slasher film in its best,
at
its best moments.
I read this one brief little review, which was that Santa Slay is the most wholesome slasher ever made, which I think is kind of true in a lot of ways.
I think the times that it's corny, it's the least successful.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like when it sort of that's my problem with Santa Slay is it never really embraces like how lowbrow it is. And so it tries to have these moments where it kind of does what, you know, American Pie, Scary Movie, like all the movies of this time did, which is like sort of have like a heartwarming moment. Maybe Scary Movie's a wrong example because it's like a satire. But American Pie would have like these genuine moments, and I'm like, no, this isn't that movie, bro.
By the way, I was revisiting Scary Movie the other day. Mm. We gotta watch that because that shit is buck wild.
Yeah,
the scene where they do the Ringu or Grudge. It was the Grudge.
Oh, the Grudge. Oh, I know what you're seeing. You're talking about. It's when Anna Faris is talking to like
the grudge
small kid. Japanese
child.
Have
you seen this yet?
I've never seen any of the scary movies.
Yeah. So I don't even know if I'm allowed to do it.
I'm allowed to do it.
Okay.
Basically, Anna Faris goes into this house. It's like a haunted house, but then there's like a caricature of the Grudge boy there. But
there's on the stair railing.
He's like, you know, but, you know, and like she's having, but she apparently speaks Japanese.
Yeah.
So basically the exchange is like, so you see text, like subtitle text of their conversation, but instead of saying Japanese, she's like, oh, Kawasaki, Teriyaki, Suzuki. And then the little boy's like, Hiroshima, Samurai, but Katana.
But then the subtitles say, like, my father murdered me.
It's fucking, and it goes on for like 3 minutes.
And they're like, wow, they really thought this joke was funny.
Okay, here's the thing. I think the reason why I bring that up is I feel like maybe this is just my own stupidity.
Billy Bob's offended.
That's fair. First of all, my name is Mitsunori.
I'm allowed
to make this.
It still is offensive when you say it like that.
I disagree. Well, Pat, you are married to a Japanese. Would she find my inflection offensive?
Why would he speak for his wife's feelings about
it? First and foremost, I don't know if you know a lot about Japan.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, Pat. Please tell us how your wife would feel.
I don't know. She gets a lot of eye rolls when Americans speak. So
yeah.
Well, thankfully, I am not an American.
Oh,
so
you are? Wow, I totally missed this. Where were you born? Suzanne Sontag says she's cool with it, as our resident social media.
That is very true. Mm-hmm. Okay. And a woman.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, we're talking about Santa Slay, but one thing we were going to do on this episode, since we haven't seen you guys in so long, is we were going to briefly tell you that, maybe get like some quick reactions that we had a whole month in October that we called Wire Trippin'. And we watched Strange Days, Johnny Mnemonic, Arcade, and Virtuosity.
Pat, did you see any of those episodes?
The only one I missed was Virtuosity.
Virtuosity? Okay. Yeah. Oh, great. So you were there for most of them.
So which one was your favorite, and why was it Johnny Mnemonic?
It was Johnny Mnemonic.
Okay. All right. So favorite. Okay, so we can start there. Maybe we could offer some like more introspection.
Well, I'm just starting off easy here.
Which one do you like? Okay.
Johnny
what about Santa Slay? Did you like that?
Love Santa Slay.
What about Black Christmas? Do you like that?
Love Black Christmas.
Oh my God, we're done with our show.
That's the episode. No, okay, going back to what I was saying before, okay, in terms of just the scary movie sort of joke, I kind of have a newfound appreciation, well, maybe it's not a feeling, I've always appreciated this type of humor that's so blindingly stupid and archaic that it almost, it offers to me personally like this sort of, it's almost like a historical artifact. You know, it's like going to a museum, like a pop culture museum, and seeing how far we've regressed or progressed, depending on who you ask. And I think
or haven't changed.
That's what I'm saying.
Like the thing that's about watching Santa Slay that is so. And maybe this is like a futile mission because I wanted to talk about other things because Santa Slay is so bad.
It is not bad, even though there were several people at the screening who said it was the worst movie they've ever seen.
It's
somehow
crazy. Yeah, like almost 6 out of 10 people that were there said it was the worst movie they had ever seen. Get that ASMR right in the mic, please. Anyway, I had it on blast, Canada man. The thing that I found so interesting was people talk about like sort of, and I don't think Santa Slay is this movie, but on a surface level, it's racist, it's sexist, it's violent for no apparent reason. It's xenophobic
and homophobic.
Mm-hmm. And homophobic. And I think that what's so strange about this is that it was made in 2005, which is only
19 years ago.
Soon
to be 20 years.
And wow, it doesn't surprise me because I was never under the illusion that, you know, like we had progressed as much as a society that we don't make movies like that anymore. But it's surprisingly like unself-aware as a film because the jokes, when they don't land in a way that is sort of like, it's not like a wink-wink movie. And that's what shocks me about it, because you would think, like, just watching it, that it's such, like, a sort of parody of itself, just from the, like, poster and the marketing and the sort of, like, trailer that we posted online. And then when you get it, it's so uncomfortable. Like, watching this movie is so uncomfortable.
Which is one of the things I kind of liked about it. It's honestly, you know what it reminds me of? Okay, going to Santa Sleigh kind of reminded me of when Coop and I went to a friend's wedding, and there was a guy there. His name was Uncle something, I remember.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
So watching Santa's...
this is Boney's wedding.
Yeah, Boney's wedding. Boney's
sorry
wedding.
To call you out, buddy.
Boney had an uncle, who showed up at the wedding.
And he's a cousin.
He's a cousin, whatever. Yeah. But basically, he just made a fucking ass of himself the whole time. Now, I think because just... we clearly weren't related to this person, and we weren't a part of that family. I found his entire experience just mind-blowingly entertaining.
Everything he did, me too.
Holy shit.
And he was, like, he was putting on the Italian stuff thick.
Oh, my God. It was
this
fucking
guy was, like,
crazy.
Jersey Italian, and he was like, hey, paisa.
Yeah, okay. The highlight was there was one...
I love that shit, too. Like, no judgment. Like, I have never judged an Italian-American.
But at one point...
for when they say panini as a singular.
Well, the other thing is, at one point during the sort of, like, hanging out, getting to know everybody, he walked up to the one other person, the one other black guy at the fucking...
I feel bad that we outed it.
No, it's fine. Anyway, so he walks up and, like, he's like, hey, look at you. You must be from the... What did he say?
He says, me and you are the same.
Yeah, me and you are the same because we both have... He didn't say mulatto. He said something akin to that.
Yeah, it was
like something mind-blowing. But, like, he was like, hey, look, we come from the same island. We're both basically Sicilian because look at your skin and look at my hair. And I'm just like, in my head, I'm like, oh, so you fucking know this guy. You guys, because you're...
You found that funny? My skin was on fire. Right? I have never been so uncomfortable in my life.
He literally
told a black man...
He told the black guy, like, oh, your ancestors ransacked our country.
It was straight out of True Romance.
It really was. It was like a comedic version of that exchange in True Romance. We were like, holy, I thought it was fucking insane.
Okay. So that's what Santa Slay is.
So I think it's safe to say that most of the people that were involved in this movie, specifically James Caan, are totally embarrassed because he literally just... isn't in the credits. He just did it. Like, there's a lot of people who are just uncredited. Like, the most famous people in this movie are uncredited. So I would akin that, like, their experience to Boney's experience at the wedding. Whereas I was having a blast because this is so fucking insane.
Okay, but this ties it back to something that I think is, like, sort of an underlying theme of these of this film.
Okay.
Which is that it has... It has this American Pie, like, sort of irreverent humor with the sort of scary movie layered on top of it. But then underneath it, it's Canadian. And that's what makes it fucking weird.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because, like, it kind of doesn't land. Like, nothing lands.
I know.
And so, and that's because I have a more... sort of, like, fully fledged conspiracy theory that, like, Canadians. Boney's cousin. Thanks, Billy Bob. Billy Bob was there too.
Billy Bob was there.
Everyone kept talking about it. Billy Bob Thornton's here.
he was there.
But that's because it's like I hate to say this. Like, no offense to all of our Canadian friends, but it's bizarro U.S.
Oh, absolutely.
It just is. It's so close, yet so different.
There's, like, always, like, one or two elements is like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Like, I know this.
You know what it always reminds me of? Have you guys seen that Seinfeld where they meet the other Seinfeld group of friends that are very...
The Bizarro Jerry.
That to me is like U.S. Canada. It's like for everybody, like, right now, there's three of us sitting in a room having the same radio show.
But they're talking about romantic comedy.
And they're slightly different. You know, like, they have a different haircut and, like...
You got one guy who, like, never eats while he's on the microphone. And then you got another guy who does, like, the worst celebrity impressions you've ever heard in your entire life.
Oh,
the complete opposite.
That's the bizarro me.
That's the bizarro, yes. So, you know, we know it's out there, and I'm sure they're listening, and we just want them to know. We want Bizarro.
Cheeto said he would listen to that show. Cheeto, you know what I think you should do? Oh, by the way, we always forget to mention this, but we could not be more grateful. We're just very forgetful. But the amazing theme song written by Alex Toomey, written and performed.
Correct.
And we're very thankful. Alex, if you're out there, I don't know.
If he's listening.
If you're listening.
We love you and we appreciate
it. We're very grateful. But also, I think that you should write the Bizarro theme song for the Canadian counterpart of our show. And we'll play it on the air. And I think that.
Well, I think one of these days we should just have the Bizarro Basement show.
Oh, my God, eh?
Eh? You're listening to Basement Radio, eh? On Radio Valencia, eh?
No, it's like Radio
You're listening to Montauk, Basement Radio. On Radio Montauk, eh?
Radio Mantega.
Please, excuse me, I'm just going to be eating all of this maple syrup and poutine.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up. I don't know if you know this, but it was released in the U.S. by Lionsgate.
Oh!
But Santa Sleigh was also released in Canada, and I do you want to venture out to what the production company was that released it in Canada?
No, please, go ahead and tell me.
Oh, it was Maple Pictures, eh? I'm not even joking.
That's a lie. Is it a joke? That's a fucking. You made that up.
Like, is this Wikipedia author trolling me?
Oh my
God.
That's
why Canada's so fucking great, dude. I really. Anyway, so.
Pisma, have you ever been to Canada?
I've been to Vancouver.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
That's kind of good.
We've been to Vancouver, too, and I feel like I really want to know what the vibe is like over on the other side.
Toronto.
Yeah, me too.
Because, like, I don't know. I've heard things. I've heard things about Montreal.
Right.
Which are great. And then Toronto, too. Yeah, I want to check out Toronto. Toronto, I'm mostly interested in Toronto for very personal reasons, and I'm very into... I've talked about it a lot on this show, but there's this movie that I love. It's called Los Angeles Plays Itself. And it's about shooting Los Angeles to be other places and how it changes the geography of a city when it pretends to be somewhere else. And Toronto is the perfect example of Bizarro New York because it's been used as New York so many times.
Many, many times.
And other places, but mostly New York. And so... So I would love to see, like, you know, all the things that were supposed to be the streets of New York, you know?
I also love when sometimes, yeah, when, like, they'll shoot movies that take place in San Francisco or L.A., but it's clearly fucking Canada.
Oh, yeah.
I love, because I remember, we watched something, and they were shooting they were shooting parts of the, quote-unquote, L.A. Chinatown, but it was 100% the Vancouver Chinatown. I only remember this because we had only been there, like, a few months beforehand. I was like, that looks like fucking Vancouver. We were just fucking there.
Yeah. You know, since we're on that topic, the very good show out on television right now.
Is it Degrassi Junior High?
It's Interior Chinatown, which plays with a lot of these sort of, not stereotypes, but sort of assumptions made about Chinatown. And they shoot it in L.A. Chinatown, but they play a lot with the sort of the locations there, like the way that people come in and out of buildings is really clever.
Fun fact, the L.A. Chinatown is probably the worst Chinatown in America.
I don't think so. I think it's really interesting.
Rush Hour is filmed there.
Yeah.
That's my point exactly. By the way, fun fact, tying it back to Santa Sleigh, director of the disaster that is Rush Hour 1, 2, and 3 was directed by Brett Ratner.
Yeah.
Do you know who? You know what movie was produced by Santa? Who produced Santa Sleigh?
Brett Ratner. And
Brett
also,
Ratner.
Also David Steinman's sort of mentor.
Yeah, basically, you say mentor, I say his fucking lackey. Like, all of his credits are just Brett Ratner's assistant.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like he just worked for Brett Ratner for like 20 years, and then Ratner's like, "You want to make a movie?" He's like, "Yes."
Yeah, I've always wanted to make Santa Sleigh. Said nobody ever,
except David Steinem.
No one cares about Santa Sleigh. You know, we're going to talk about it. So wait. Suzanne Sontag says, Chicago for the alleys. It's true. New York has an interesting problem, is that it almost has no alleys.
That's true.
And that's why all their trash is on the street. And you know, the rat problem, which has always bothered me. And then he also says mediocre book for Interior Chinatown. I've never read the book, but I heard it's good.
Mm.
But mediocre is it
means, very harsh.
Means
very harsh.
Bad, yeah.
Means not bad.
Yeah.
I guess mediocre is, I think, worse than bad because it's boring.
I think people use it wrong.
Yeah,
I don't think it's as pejorative as people use it.
No.
I mean, I think it is. I think it
really?
Is. I think I would much rather someone tell
if
me.
If someone told me my movie was mediocre, I'd be like, hey.
If I made anything and somebody told me it was mediocre, I would lose my mind. If they told me it was bad, I'd be like, awesome.
Really?
I'd much rather have
bad as like a more.
It's a more sincere, like extreme response. Mediocre is
an extreme response.
Yeah,
or not extreme, but it's
a passionate response. Yeah, mediocre is the worst thing to happen to anything.
Suzanne knows how it's used, of course. I mean, you're like a linguist.
Right?
Well, I'm going to call Suzanne Sontag all the things that she's not.
There you go. That'll work.
Social media theorist, linguist.
Social media theorist and linguist and gymnast, Susan Sontag.
Gymnast. Anyway.
So, okay. We don't really have to talk about Santa's sleigh because we know what happens.
No, I want
to
talk a little bit about it. So the reason I brought it up is because I do the Canada thing. Is I found out like there's sort of like an underlying theme of our month, which is that they're Canadian.
Black Christmas is Canadian.
Black Christmas is Canadian, and we were wondering this the whole time we were watching it, I knew it had Canadian roots as a film, but I didn't know how deep they went. Like it's inspired by this urban legend called The Babysitter and the Man Upstairs.
Wait, Santa's sleigh?
No, Black Christmas. and it's a Canadian film, but it's also with the urban legend supposedly took place in Westmount neighborhood of Montreal, Quebec. But it was also, and then on top of that, it was shot in Toronto. So it's a very Canadian film, and there's a lot of Canadian American actors.
Wait, is Margot Kidder Canadian?
She is. She's Canadian American.
Rest in peace, Margot. Mm-hmm.
She has dual citizenship.
She could still get it though.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not anymore. But she.
Wow, dude. Just calm down, okay? Not anymore is so brutal.
She's dead.
Well, I mean, but like,
how is that brutal? Margot Kidder's corpse would.
I just don't think you need to like cut people off. Like, I don't think there's an expiration date on they can get it.
I think there is if you die. I think that's literally the. I mean,
I'm just saying people like watch Bridget Bardot movies and they're not like. That's a bad example. But like, people watch old films and they're like, oh, she can get it.
Like, yeah.
But wait, hold on, she's dead. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, if you said it in the past tense, she could have gotten it.
Oh, wow, that's so. I don't know.
Susan Sontag, can you chime in on this?
I've heard of Sontag on that one. No, but Margot Kidder is in Black Christmas. Obviously, she was Lois Lane.
And Superman. Oh, yeah.
She was Lois Lane in the Superman films, the original Superman films. But
the good ones.
But what I think so crazy about this movie is that these people are not only accomplished actors, but it's not like it's their first film. They're not like it's not like some like we were proving ourselves thing. Like she was already in Sisters.
That's true.
Which is a Brian De Palma film, and which was insanely popular.
It's a great movie.
You know, like it broke him onto the scene.
Also, our boy John Saxon's up in there.
Yeah, John Saxon's in it.
John Saxon, one of the most underrated actors of all time. And he's also dead.
And then she goes on to do, and then Black Christmas, and then she goes, sorry, I'm back on Margot Kidder. She goes on to do
I would have liked
Horror.
To have been back on Margot Kidder.
Not anymore, though.
Not anymore.
And then, you know, she has a pretty successful career. And then she pops up in some cameos in the 2000s. And the only reason I bring this up is because we did a 2005 movie.
Wait, what was she in?
She's in this Canadian hockey film called Chicks with Sticks.
You fucking made that up.
I'm not. 2004, right before Santa's sleigh.
Holy shit.
And then she has a cameo, or not a cameo, she has like a minor part in Halloween 2, the zombie film.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember that. Wait, hold on. I'm going to see if I can get a copy of Chicks with Sticks.
Yeah, please. Maybe it's PAL, though. No, I'm kidding.
No, it's Canada.
NTSC. Kidder died on May 13th, 2018. Mm-hmm. And that was an overdose, unfortunately. So going back to it, Black Christmas, that was the first movie we showed in our ho-ho horror theme, which is this month of December. I think the response for Black Christmas in the basement was amazing. It was not mediocre.
No, it wasn't, because it's a fucking classic.
Yeah. It is a classic, but I always wonder how it's going to land, you know, because it's like a very, like...
Some movies we thought were...
Some ways.
Some movies I thought we were going to fucking just crush did the opposite.
Yeah.
Talking about you, Hard Ticket to Hawaii.
Wow, people really hated Hard Ticket.
Of all the movies
we've
ever shown.
What a bunch of hypocrites.
Seriously, of everything we've shown. Like, we've shown movies where people just get torn to bits and all sorts of horrible, you know, assaults. And Hard Ticket to Hawaii is the one where we're like, this, to draw the line. Too much.
Too much, man.
By the way, I just looked this up. Chicks with Sticks in the United States was unfortunately released as Hockey Mom.
What?
So Canada got the right name. Fucking bullshit.
Hockey Mom.
Hockey Mom in America. What a crock of... Oh, maybe because of the thing, because the name, you know, they don't have a, you know, the derogatory chicks with...
I don't know.
No, I don't know.
That's an American thing.
Yeah.
Fun fact, Poison, the band Poison, was originally called Chicks with Sticks.
Really?
Yeah. Well, not.
You can say it. No, you can say it. Poison was originally called Chicks with Dicks.
I didn't know that.
I did not know that.
Yeah, fun fact.
It'd be kind of funny, though, if like you went, like, we're Chicks with Dicks. Here's our new song, Every Rose Has a Thorn.
That song fucking sucks. Poison fucking sucks.
See, now, what's worse? Would you think Poison would rather you say them that they sucked or that they're mediocre?
No, that they suck is way worse than mediocre.
Yeah.
I'm having a passionate response right now.
It's a very passionate song.
Mediocre is like, who's mediocre? Radiohead.
Cinderella.
The fuck? Wow. Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
To be honest.
Coldplay is not. Coldplay sucks.
Yeah. Coldplay is.
Coldplay sucks.
I think Coldplay's written better songs in the last 15 years than Radiohead.
Oh, wow.
What? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. That's.
And they were all yellow.
That might be the most clever thing you've ever liked. I can't even laugh. That was too good. I'm actually more mad at you for making that joke because I didn't make that. It's so funny that I can't laugh because I'm more filled with rage that I didn't come up with that joke.
Oh, yeah. This is your problem as an artist.
That's bullshit.
Don't be so bitter. but yeah, John Saxon is in it. He plays a detective, which I feel like this might be his first detective role, which goes on to be a staple in his career. He's in Nightmare on Elm Street. He's a detective. Law enforcement.
Wait, when did Tenebrae come out?
Oh, Tenebrae. Black Christmas is what, 74?
Tenebrae was probably.
Here, I have his filmography. Hold on.
78, I think.
Yeah, I think it's after. Because he's the only movie that I sort of recognize before this was Enter the Dragon, besides the kind of spaghetti westerns, because he shows up in those, too.
Enter the Dragon, I think, came out after Black Christmas.
No, 73.
Oh,
okay. Roper.
Over, yeah.
But then, Tenebrae, way after, 82.
Damn, I knew it. Okay.
And then Nightmare on Elm Street, 84, of course. Where he plays Donald Thompson, who then goes on to play that in other Nightmare on Elm Street movies, like Dream Warriors, and, of course, the remake of the remake, or the meta-remake, New Nightmare.
Yeah. Dream Warriors and New Nightmare. New Nightmare.
Yeah.
Severely underrated.
Mm-hmm. New Nightmare is definitely something we're going to bring back up. Tom has been hard up lately. True.
Man, y'all got to stop. Y'all got to leave Radiohead alone.
I don't know, man.
Do we?
Yeah. It ain't 2001 anymore. That's all.
Wow.
Wait, so, okay. No, I take that back. Coldplay has had better songs since 2001. Well,
this is madness. This is fucking
DK's not listening because that's like his favorite band.
I mean, look. It's not my favorite band, but I do love Radiohead, and that is just madness.
I don't know.
Wow.
Was he one of the people who's like playing gigs in Israel and shit?
Yeah.
All right. So maybe. Okay. Fine.
Well, I mean, Coldplay probably is.
Coldplay. I think. Coldplay, 100%.
Yeah.
He's like playing gigs in Israel, but then like complaining about like where his apples come from.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Fucking.
I hate Chris Martin, dude.
He's the worst. He's the worst. Chris Martin is the Juno of people.
Billy Bob says, "Radio rules. Time will prove both of you wrong." Billy Bob Thornton is having a seizure. So call us if you need us. It's probably because the jeans are too tight.
It's very true. Or he's wearing one too many hats with more than enough piercings. You know, he pierces his hats. Billy Bob Thornton wears hats with fucking hoop earrings.
Before he came, we
had a whole in-depth discussion about his hat attire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Should we listen to some music?
Yeah, sure. Billy Bob says, "You can't read."
I don't care what you say. Insomniac is one of the greatest achievements in musical history.
Insomniac?
Wait, that's Green Day, dude.
No.
Maybe you don't know.
I'm an amnesiac.
That's like 2001, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. Nothing since Insomniac.
Yeah. Insomniac. Dude, I saw a Green
Day. The best Radiohead album is Green Day's 1990s. Insomniac.
I saw Green Day on the Insomniac tour in Rome.
Uh-oh.
It's a very weird place
to see. That's a very weird place to see.
What? Sorry.
I was going to make an Italian thing. Go on. It's fine.
What?
Oh,
Giorno Verde.
Hey, me like the Duke, yeah?
Green Day is definitely mediocre. I agree, Billy Bob.
Welcome to the paradise.
Although we did listen to it on the ride to see Santa's sleigh.
We did.
We listened to Basket Case.
Yep, that's a good one.
And,
shit, man, should we listen?
And I was like, it's pretty good.
Damn, I was going to play some Christmas music, but now I kind of listen to Green Day.
No, play Christmas music. I want to get back in the holiday spirit because I feel like we're just ragging on people.
All right, here we go. This is my favorite Christmas song. Let's go.
This is a song that there's a lot of Christmas songs out there, and not too many Hanukkah songs. So wrote a song for all those nice little Jewish kids who don't get to hear any Hanukkah songs. Here we go. Festival of lights. Instead of one day of presents, we have 8 crazy nights. When you feel like the only kid in town without a Christmas tree, here's a list of people who are Jewish, just like you and me. David Lee Roth lights the menorah. So do James Caan, Kirk Douglas, and the late Dinah Shore. Guess who eats together at the Carnegie Deli? Bowser from Shanana and Arthur Fonzarelli. Paul Newman's half Jewish, Goldie Hawn's half too. Put them together, what a fine looking Jew. You don't need deck the halls or
and spin a dreidel with Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, both Jewish.
Put on your yarmulke. It's time for Hanukkah. The owner of the Seattle Supersonicas celebrate Hanukkah. O.J. Simpson, not a Jew. Guess who is Hall of Famer Rod Carew? He converted.
We got Ann Landers and her sister, dear Abby.
Harrison Ford's a quarter Jewish. Not too shabby.
Some people think that Ebenezer Scrooge is.
Well, he's not. But guess who is? All three Stooges.
Is. Tell your friend Veronica, it's time to celebrate Hanukkah.
Oh, bar, get a harmonica on this lovely, lovely Hanukkah. So drink your gin and tonica and smoke your marijuana. If you really, really want to, have a happy, 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 happy Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah.
Celebrate Hanukkah.
Oh, bar, get a harmonica on this lovely, lovely Hanukkah. So drink your gin and tonica and smoke your marijuana. If you really, really wanna go, have a happy, 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 happy Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah.
Yay, all right.
Happy Hanukkah, everybody.
Happy Hanukkah. Bill Goldberg.
Exactly, yeah. Jewish. He is a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, I didn't know this, but he's like a very devout Jew. Like, he goes to
temple and all that.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
He's married by a rabbi.
And actually, he met his wife in this movie. Did you know that?
Oh, who's his wife?
One of the women that got killed in the very beginning. I think the girl that got bashed in the, no. The girl.
Oh, those are all famous people.
No, one of the actors in Santa Slay, actresses, he met her on the set and they got married.
Oh, wait. I got their names here, I think.
It's like something. I don't know. I don't remember.
Emile Darabin?
That's
Rebecca Gayhart?
No. Her name is like Miranda something or other.
Okay.
Anyway. He met his wife on this.
David Steinman, I'm guessing, also Jewish.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think this whole movie is basically just anti-Christian propaganda.
Yeah, I mean, I vibe with that. It is interesting that potentially the most offensive scene in the whole movie is the killing of the delicatessen owner.
Yes.
Which I guess is like, I guess he can do it. They can do it.
I mean, yeah, I guess they can get away with it. I mean,
let's talk about some of the other people in this movie. I thought it was interesting to see that the main character, the boy whose dad is we find out later is an angel.
Yeah.
Who initially, just to explain a little bit of the story, initially had a contest with the son of Satan.
Santa.
Or demon. Is he the demon? Son?
I think they both apply.
Yeah, okay. He's a demon, and every December 25th, he has the Night of Slaying.
Where he just kills people to besmirch the birth of Christ.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And so to stop this, the angel places a wager with him on a game of curling.
Well, an angel transubstantiates himself
into an old man.
Into an old man. And
oh, that's his granddad. Sorry,
his granddad. Oh. But here's the thing I don't understand. So, does that mean that this old guy has been alive for 1,000 years?
Well, he's an angel.
So he's an angel. But I'm just saying, like, does that mean that he just skipped having other?
Yeah, he becomes an old man, but then that old man doesn't age.
He doesn't age.
Yeah,
but then he also like he has. He has one set of kids who then I guess he outlives, but then his grandson is still alive. They never understand. They never go into that background.
Yeah. So he has kids. Interesting, because angels aren't supposed to have sexual parts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how angels get down. Listeners of Basin Radio, does anyone know how this works?
He becomes an old man.
And
then he even mentioned something in the movie, like, I just fell in love with your grandmother, and that's why I stayed.
So he was just an angel for 1,000 years, and then, like, 990...
Yeah.
So, like, 900 years into his humanity, he's like, you know what? I'm ready to start fucking. Yeah,
and then he's like, I'm gonna be this old man. But then he can just, like, go back to angel. It's a lot of power.
Wait, does that mean that the kid is a half angel?
I think so. And if we ever see a Santa Slate 2... Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Here's hoping, folks.
Then I think Douglas Smith, who played the kid in this movie, I can't even remember his name.
I don't know. Jasper or something?
Jack.
What did I say?
Nicholas Yulson.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I like also this weird Norse mythology that was thrown up into this, like, randomly.
Speak your Norse. Why are you shy to speak Norse? Read Norse.
I actually don't know. What is a fucking Norse accent?
Nobody knows, actually.
I'm just going to assume it's a different shade of Canadian.
Have I talked about this on the show? Have you heard of this sort of alt-right theory that Finland doesn't exist?
I have heard, yeah.
It's a fishing place for Japanese people. Wait, you haven't heard about this?
You're serious?
I'm serious. This is an alt-right sort of conspiracy theory.
So Finland is fake.
Finland doesn't exist, and it's just a really good place to fish. It's just sea there.
Uh-huh.
And the way that they prove this is by going around and asking people if they've met a fetish person.
That's funny. I think that is inherently hilarious. And if I didn't actually know one Finnish person,
I know a Finnish person, though.
So I do.
Florsia.
The guy that
it's a woman.
It's a woman.
No.
I know one guy. He's married to a friend of my wife's friend. Yeah, he's married to the friend of one of my wife's friends. His name is Jory.
Oh, yeah.
He's Jory. First of all, who the fuck is named Jory unless you're from Finland?
True. Oh, Tim Beanzilla is in the chat. Tim Allen should play Santa in the sequel. Oh, that would be good casting.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, big shout out to Tim Allen. You know, the world's greatest drug smuggler / comedian.
I also feel like Billy Bob says good story. I didn't think that was particularly dead-ended.
What? It was a good story, all right?
Who the fuck is named Jory? This is the quality that you could expect on Basement Radio after a long break. No, but I do think that Tim Allen would be the type of person to get employed by Brett Ratner.
Very true. I think Brett Ratner is, you know, the one thing I love about Brett Ratner is, like, he...
Wait, you love something about...
Hold on.
This you is my, love Brett Ratner?
No, the only thing
you're
I like...
You heard it here first, guys.
The only thing I love
it's
about
Brett... loves Brett Ratner.
Hold on. I know that he's a piece of shit, but I think he's hilarious. I find it hilarious that he looks essentially like a pile of garbage. He looks like a flesh-colored pile of garbage, but he has been with some of the most incredible-looking women, like, in the history of the world.
Like, was Jessica Alba on?
I think he nailed Jessica Alba.
Nailed? You're a fucking 12 years old.
This is how I get into the spirit of Santa's sleigh.
Okay.
What, you've
Who
never
seen...
You
nail? You're so gross. Oh, God. Anyway, Douglas Smith, who plays Christopher Yulson, he actually had, like, kind of one of the most impressive careers of the people in this movie, if you don't count all the celebrities that get murdered in the first 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Fran Drescher, by the way, she looks so good.
Yeah, in this movie.
Oh, my God.
She can still get it?
Yeah, because she's still alive.
Okay. And then he was on Big Love. He played Ben Henriksen. He was in Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters, which is a sequel, but in that one he plays a Cyclops, so I don't know if that counts, because you can't really see his face.
No.
And then Terminator Genesis. He's